Good morning. You know, when this church was planted 14 plus years ago, one of our dreams, one of the values that we wanted instilled in the DNA of Bay City Church is that we would raise a people, we would be part of a people that go. And this morning, I think we've seen something of that. Being able to send one of our best, Ashley, off to the UK, to send her off there to go and be a blessing, to send families into the nations, to go and bless the nations with this incredible gospel that's transformed our lives. Next week, we have the privilege of praying for Dev and Svenja as we bid them farewell as they move into a new space, exploring God for themselves. We are beginning to see the very things that we had dreamt about and instilled in the life of this local church for many years, that we would be a base, we would be a group of people that go taking this gospel. So I'm a little bit tender this morning as we've just celebrated these moments. It's grateful to God for being a church that it sends people, doesn't hold on to folk. I'm preaching this morning, if you are visiting, on that statement that Jesus makes. He makes a number of statements about himself, and one of the statements he makes about himself is that he says, "I am the vine." And so I'm going to be looking at that this morning. But by way of illustrating what I'm wanting to minister into this morning, just to share a personal testimony. So yesterday, Shelley and I had the privilege of sharing our 28th wedding anniversary. She needs a medal. The guy normally stands up and says, "I need a medal." But I'll be honest with you, she needs a medal. I'm not the easiest guy to cohabit with. But we are grateful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his hand upon our relationship for 28 years. I am more in love with this lady today than I was 28 years ago when I said I do before the Father. I can honestly say that I'm more in love with this lady today than I was 28 years ago. Now we know this journey of marriage, of relating together in the context of marriage, is not easy. It comes with some challenges. But I have to acknowledge the hand of God upon this relationship. Grateful that we have him to lean into. Grateful that we have him to press into. In our devotional time yesterday morning, praying together, weighing up the last 28 years and thanking God for one another, thanking the Lord for his hand upon our lives, we were overcome just in that moment by his goodness towards us. Tender moment, just overcome by his goodness towards us. An acknowledgement in that moment that we wouldn't be where we were today if it wasn't for him. If it weren't for him, for his grace, if it weren't for his truth, if it wasn't for his prompting and his conviction over these years. And there was just this incredible thankfulness saying, "Lord Jesus, we are blessed. We are blessed. Our marriage is healthy. Times there have been some challenges. Shelley's thrown a couple of plates at me, no jokes." No. We have raised two kids that love Jesus and that in their own way are revealing him to the world that they cohabit with and in. They representing and revealing the gospel. We have planted a local church, this church, and we are incredibly grateful and thankful that we get to do Life and Faith together with you. We are blessed. We are privileged to travel to the nations to preach the gospel. We get really to enjoy the fruit of an incredible relationship with Jesus Christ. Grateful to him and all glory and honor to him. John 15, and you can turn there and read with me our anchor text this morning, 15. John 15, verses 1 to 8, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Not just the vine, "I am the true vine." That would imply that there are some false vines out there. But he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Make pruning your friend, Friends, it is helpful. More fruit, allow the Father to prune us." Been in that process more than once. He says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Can I just reemphasize that? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, our marriage would not be where it is today. Apart from him, apart from his working and his transforming process by his word and his spirit in our lives as we parent our kids would not be walking in what they're walking in today. This church would not be in the place that it is today. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Today, we're going to tackle an important question. And maybe you're sitting there and you're asking this question this morning. What does it look like to live like a Christian? What does it look like to bear fruit? If you've never asked yourself this before, perhaps today will help you. What is spiritual fruit? And so just to clarify, what Jesus is saying here, he says the true vine is not the church. This vine that we are connected to is not the church. It is Jesus Christ. The gardener would be the Father, referring to God. He does the pruning. He is the one that works and is active in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, we don't have time to go there, but God is looking down upon the earth and he's looking at a group of people, a nation that he has chosen, that he calls his own people. And he gives us a similar picture to what Jesus is saying. And God looks upon this nation, Israel. He looks upon the Hebrew people. And he sees they're about their own stuff. They're doing their own thing, living their own ways. There's like all sorts happening there. So the fruit that he intends them to bear, they're not bearing. That's the observation that he makes. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 5. This is what God says. When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? So he's looking for good fruit, but the fruit is not so good. And then there's a whole indictment against the nation because of that. Likewise, in this story, Jesus is highlighting the same thing. Looking for fruit. He intimates, he's looking for fruit. You've been chosen and called, yes, to be my own, but as you walk out this relationship, this journey of life with me, in whatever context, bear fruit that'll be to my glory, is what Jesus is implying. And so he says, there are some who bear fruit. There are those who don't bear fruit. And the interesting thing, even those that bear fruit, he prunes. Why? So that we might even be more fruitful. It's like, I'm not a gardener, but where's Richard's mom? I wish she'd be able to illustrate that. Like, there's always pruning happening. It's like Shelley's always in the garden pruning. You know, when I don't prune, I cut. But she comes out, what's happened to my garden? It's like there was a, it's gone. She prunes, and I'm like, hey, let's just chop everything off. But she prunes, and lo and behold, at the next season, that bush flourishes. Mine doesn't. Don't know why. Pruning is helpful. It's a helpful process that we might be more fruitful in God. Can I just say, as Jesus unpacks this portion of Scripture for us, that fruit is not defined as evangelism or bringing others to Christ alone. So when he talks about bearing fruit, soul winning is not the only thing that Jesus is pointing to. Fruit is, leading people to Jesus. Fruit in a person's life is holiness and obedience. Fruit is generosity. Fruit is going to the nations and sharing the love of Christ with others. fruit in the context of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is Christian character. Fruit, bearing fruit is defined as doing good works, works that honor Jesus and glorify Him, not self-exalting, man glorifying. And so when we read John 15, it's all about living for Jesus Christ. It speaks to Christians, speaks to those that have already been reborn. When we remain in Christ, Jesus is saying we are abiding. And that abiding means that we are content. We are satisfied. That we find our fulfillment and our pleasure in Him. And as we abide more in Him, as we are more satisfied in Him, as we are more content in Him, in Christ, we want more of Him. John Piper says this, and we probably know this quote so well, that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. That's what Jesus is saying. Remain in me, abide in me, bear fruit for my Father's glory. When we are most satisfied, most content, most fulfilled in Jesus, that's when the Father is most glorified by our lives. Amen? Being satisfied in Christ means His ways are my ways. His ways are my ways. His thoughts are my thoughts. His attitude is my attitude. And to live like that requires humility. And it's only when we are humble, friends, there is wholehearted obedience. We can only bear fruit through wholehearted obedience, humility, surrendered to Jesus, abiding in Him. To be content in Christ, if you haven't heard it already, is the greatest accomplishment we can desire. Not content in my wife, or my wife content in me, or we content in our children, or we content in our gift, content in Jesus Christ, because from Him all life flows. Abide in me, and you will bear fruit. I love my wife, but she is not my all in all. I love my kids, but they're not my all in all. I love Jesus, and my wife and my kids find their place in Him. In Him. Jesus says in verse 5, a branch cannot survive if it is not of the vine. If it's not grafted in, Jesus says it'll wither and die. And so He's implying that when we as Christians, when we as believers, when we are as sons and daughters of the Father are grafted in to Jesus, He says we will live, we will bear fruit. He says, when grafted into the vine, not He says, I say, we thrive and live more fully. So Jesus says that He is the vine and we are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Conversely, friends, disconnected from the vine produces nothing. It might look good. It might have life for a while. You know, when you cut a branch off a tree, those leaves on that branch live for a little while. But starved of life, they eventually dry out. That branch dies. Jesus says, apart from me, no life produces nothing. And so it's good time when we listen to the scripture to evaluate our lives, to evaluate what are we attached to? What are we linking our lives to? If not Jesus, then what? If not Jesus, then who? Question. Only we can answer that for ourselves. See, Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, again, Jesus says that we are recognized by the fruit of our lives. There is fruit. What you're connected to, that's what you'll produce. And it is seen. You can't hide it. It's fruit. So how do we handle the implications of verse 6, where Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. This has got nothing to do with salvation, but this has got everything to do with rewards. Speaking to Christians. Everything to do with rewards. Christians that are truly saved, cannot lose their salvation. This portion of scripture lends more weight to losing rewards in eternity. Still saved, but. And there is a but. Because Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, challenges us to examine the way that we are building our lives. In other words, consider the fruit of your life. Just like Jesus is saying here. Paul the Apostle says, consider the fruit of your life. He is challenging us to examine the way that we are building our lives, the way that we are living. And he says, build with eternity in mind. He says, if we don't build with eternity in mind, that which does not have eternal value will be exposed. That fruit will be exposed by fire. He goes on to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Even though only as one escaping through the flames. So he's saying salvation's secure, but there is a reality that rewards are at stake. And Devin preached some time ago a great message around that. So here's an example. Brendan and Haley, little guys growing up in our home, and so our method of discipline changed over time as they grew up. And so if they disobeyed us, if they were naughty, it resulted in some consequences. And so we realized in the early days when they were younger, pedal on the rear end definitely helped correct some behavior. But as I got older, it was like not so cool to give them a hiding. So I can remember with Brendan, the greatest way that we could punish him and get some good behavior was to say, you're banished to your room for 2 hours, because he just loved to be outside. He loved hanging with people and being outside, and you robbed him of that privilege. It was quite an aner until he got to about 15. Then he just wanted to be in his room and sleep. That changed. We had to find some other ways. Okay, you're going to lose your cell phone. But there are consequences for disobedience. You lose some reward. You lose some privileges. And that's what Paul is saying here, that you lose some reward as a consequence for disobedience, for rebellion, etc., etc. It's the same concept that he is highlighting. You might ask, well, why would a loving God do that? Because he is just, because he is righteous, and because he is a holy God. It is to the Father's glory, John 15, verse 8, it is to the Father's glory that we live rightly for him. Jesus, again, gives us very explicit directions on how to live. John 15, and you can read with me, verses 9 and 10. This is an incredible truth, friends. As the Father, Jesus writing, he says, speaking, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He says, now remain in my love. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. That's how we remain in the love of the Father, is keeping his commands. That's how we enjoy the benefits, the rewards, the privileges of a walk with him. By obeying his commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Friends, this is massive. That God loved Jesus. Jesus has shown us the love of the Father. You want to know what the love of God is like? Jesus received it. Press into Jesus and receive that same love. And when we understand love like the Father loved his Son, it's easy to remain in his love. And so this life of walking this journey as a Christian is not about rules and regulations and legalistic views. We obey because we know that he loves us. So when I disciplined Brendan, it didn't change the fact. He was still my son. He was still Brendan van Rensburg. He had identity, he had position, he had a place in our household. Didn't change it. And he also knew that I loved him. I used to give him a paddle and say, I love you. I don't believe it, but he knew it. I hugged him and loved him after that. We obey because we know he loves us. And our obedience brings him joy. Our obedience brings him joy. John 15, verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. I think we prayed into that in the prayer meeting, Brad. Just consider this for a moment. Jesus, the love of the Father expressed to us tonight. You want to know what the love of the Father is for us? He sent his Son, Jesus, put him upon the cross to die for us. Extravagant love. Extravagant love. Love that doesn't hold back. While we were still sinners, the Bible says he did this for us. It wasn't like you perform and then you receive my love. My love was poured out for you even though we were sinners. What love is this? It's extravagant. It's extravagant. Who wouldn't want to respond to a father that shows his love like that? He was crucified, died, resurrected from the dead for us. What love is this? John 15, verses 13 to 16. This is how Jesus unpacks this extravagant love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. Jesus in this passage is calling us friend, not enemy. Friend. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command. In other words, if you just obey, you just love what I love, do what I do, walk like I walk, think like I think, you're my friend. He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me. Just in case we get all full of pride and boastful. Well, I chose you. No, he didn't. He chose us. 1 Peter chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, he chose us. I get my head around that. It's crazy. We did not choose him, friends. And yet we can go through life thinking we chose him. If we chose him, then we can make him do our beck and call, can't we? There's a sense of familiarity then. This thing, when Jesus says, I'm your friend, there's a humility that when we understand that truth that comes over us where actually, yeah, we are his friend, but he is Lord. He is Savior. He is King. And surely he deserves the honor and the glory that is due his name in respect of what he's done for us. You're not like that slot machine in the casino where we just pull the handle and ask him and try to make him do everything we want him to do. No. I'm your friend. You are my friend. Do what I have shown you and taught you to do. He says, I called you friends for everything I learned from my Father I made known to you. You did not choose me. Let's pause here for a moment. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Not only did he choose us, but he appointed us so that we might go and bear fruit. And not just a fruit that lasts for one season. Fruit that lasts eternally. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give. We do a lot of asking, but I want to ask us, do we ask in his name or do we ask in our own name? Do we ask what we prefer, what we desire, or do we ask what he wants and he desires of us? And to know what he desires and asks of us, we better be close to him and hearing his voice and reading his word to know what he wants. Amazing. We are no longer slaves. Just let that truth soak in. I've called you friends. No longer slaves, but we are called into friendship with God. Let's just consider for a moment what God has done for us. We sang about it. We're reading about it. So let that revelation sink in. He chose us and then he died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this truth. God demonstrates his own love in this for us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Not about performing, not about ticking a whole lot of boxes. He meets us where we're at. Maybe this morning, you're wanting the love of the Father, and you're thinking, well, I have to be this kind of this package, and I have to look a certain way. And we start to do all of this thing of trying to produce fruit. As where you are this morning, Jesus wants to meet you exactly where you're at. So this doesn't mean that we get easy with our familiarity. He is still Lord. John 15, verse 8 is a responsibility. So we are friends. He has chosen us. We are friends. And then he says, so Jesus has done his part, our part. The responsibility is bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So it's not like, well, Jesus, you've done all the work now. Now I just carry on living my life the way I want to. Actually, no. Jesus says, I've chosen you. I've called you. You're a friend. Now go and bear fruit. That means the obedience part. That means we're walking out our salvation with fear and trembling, as we read in the book of Philippians. It means making right choices. And I no longer live like I used to, but the way I live my life now, I live for the glory of the Father who gave his Son for me. Responsibility, privilege, responsibility. Neglect the responsibility, there is some consequence. And the consequence Jesus talks about is some eternal rewards might be lost. Might just make heaven by the skin of our teeth, but the rewards are lost. Bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In other words, bear fruit that brings glory to the Father. You know, we sang that beautiful song. First time I heard it. I think it's a new song, Jonah. Just, I wrote it down. Give our whole life. Give our whole life to honor this love. Give our whole life to honor this love. Whole life. Not part of it. Not just an hour a week. Whole life. Give my marriage to honor this love. Give my children to honor this love. I give my call, my gift to honor this love. Give my friendships to honor this love. Everything. Giving our whole life, to honor this love. Everything surrendered to him, to Jesus Christ. If he says, do it, I'm going to do it. If he says, don't do it, I don't do it. I listen. My whole life is not about me. It's actually about the glory of the Father and the fruit of obeying him, the fruit of walking in his will, the fruit of walking in his ways, the fruit of his word and his spirit at work within me bears fruit. And it's fruit that will last. It's fruit that can be seen. It's fruit that brings glory to the Father. We're in trouble when we produce our own fruit. It dies. Might look good, might taste good for a little while. But eventually it perishes, as Paul says. We started this morning message, as Warren Wiersbe says, in the vineyard. It's very interesting that Jesus brings us to the throne room in these scriptures. Brings us to the throne room. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Thanks for this bread. Speaking about Jesus. And I believe we're in the throne room, feet of the Father, listening to the voice of his Son this morning. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but he was revealed in these last times for your sake. So Peter's writing to us. Can I say that he was revealed to us in these last times for our sake? Because we need rescuing from ourselves. Through him, Jesus, that is, we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our faith and our hope is not in the strength of the rand or the president leading the country or your wife or your husband or your kids or your job. or your bank balance or your pension that you'll get one day when you have the privilege of repair. Our strength and our hope is in Jesus Christ. And He helps us persevere to the very end when He calls us. Our strength and our hope are in Him. Our faith is in Him. Friends, when our faith and our hope are in Him, this naturally follows. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, you see fruit? Obeying truth, loving one another. Obeying truth, loving one another. Can I say this morning that if we're sitting in this room with something of a shadow in our heart towards someone else, and we know that Jesus' truth says, as far as it is possible to live at peace with someone, go to them, make it right. That's what His word says. Go to them and make it right. That's how you bear fruit of the gospel. Listen to Him and do it. The bearing fruit, it brings glory to the Father when reconciliation happens. Sincere love. Don't just do it insincerely. Sincere love. On this, we are challenged daily because there are always moments for someone to offend us. Always opportunities and moments for somebody to disappoint us and to hurt us. I wasn't going to go there. I just felt this morning, be free. My chains are broken. Broken by the love of Christ. Yes, they are broken by the love of Christ, but they're also broken by when we take up responsibility and we do what the word says and are obedient to it. Now that you have purified yourself, love that, purified yourself by obeying truth. Eh? That means breaking some chains by obeying truth. It means emptying your heart and just making sure that there's purity there instead of darkness. So that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart, not by someone else's actions, from your own heart. For you have been born again. In other words, don't act like the heathen. Don't act like the unsaved. You have been born again. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit. You have the word of God inside of you. New heart from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. What love is this? Gracious, extravagant love of the Father poured out. Friends, we are not alone. The Bible says that we have a friend. His name is Jesus. And I don't say that flippantly or lightly. We have one who is close to us, who walks with us, who desires to outwork His will, His plan, and His purpose in our lives. And He has given us His great and precious promises to help us walk in a way that will bring glory and honor to Him. I don't know how we can bear fruit apart from this. I don't know how we can bear fruit apart from intimacy with Him. I don't know how we can bear fruit without putting our hope and our trust in His strength and in His grace. I don't know how. I've tried. And I failed miserably. There's a confession. I've tried. And I failed miserably. No fruit. Such as like that low-hanging fruit. You know that fruit that goes fraught quickly? It's like that. Not pleasant to taste of. It's not pleasant to eat. It's good for not even good for making jam. That fruit that's right at the top, that's ripe, that gets all the sunlight, that gets the best of the best, is the fruit that flourishes. And we this morning have been called upward to the Father, into the throne room of heaven, to sit at the feet of the Father, receive the love of Christ, to hear His voice, that we might live lives, bring glory and honor and praise to His name.